89% of business leaders say AI is a top priority. The right choice is crucial, which is why teams at one-third of Fortune 500 companies use Grammarly. Grammarly is the right AI assistant for your team. With top-tier security credentials and 15 years of experience in responsible AI, Grammarly is how companies like yours increase productivity while keeping data protected and private. See why 70,000 teams trust Grammarly at grammarly.com/enterprise.
Welcome on in, everybody. It is a Tuesday, January 7th edition of Sports Talk. Steve Geller, Charlie Long, bring you until 7 p.m., and then we will have the Saints Hour. Me and Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak getting ready for some Pelicans action. If you're listening to us, you're hearing us on 105.3 FM over on the Big 870 AM. We've got the Pelicans Weekly Show leading into pregame coverage of the Pelicans game coming up against the Minnesota Timberwolves, and then a 7 p.m. tip-off. That's all on 870 AM. We'll be rolling along here on Sports Talk, getting into plenty of Pels talk this hour. We've got head coach Willie Green. DeJounte Murray spoke today, too, at Shootaround, and we'll be talking also with Ollie Kozel, credentialed NBA writer who covers the Pels for us. A lot of action going on in the city right now with the Super Bowl coming to town, too. We heard about the parking, I want to say issues, but parking dilemma you have to deal with to get to the Smoothie King Center tonight. And looking forward to seeing the big man. Zion Williamson is back in action tonight for the Pels. And I know that the minutes are certainly be limited for him in his first game back since, I believe, it's November 6th, Charlie.
He's missed 30 games this year, Steve. The Pelicans have played, you know, what is it now, 36 games? Or not? They're 7-29, so 36 games. He's played in six of their initial 36 games. Really unfortunate, but he is making his return tonight, which is very fun, against the Minnesota Timberwolves. I'm excited to talk to Ollie a little bit about them.
Tough team.
Yes, but at the same time, a team that was right on the doorstep of the NBA Finals last year, and then they move on from Karl-Anthony Towns in the offseason, and they've kind of fallen apart a little bit. Not completely, like the bottom isn't totally fallen out. They're an 18-17 team, so they have a winning record, but once again, this was a team that was right basically a couple games away from the NBA Finals last year. And, you know, you move on from Karl-Anthony Towns because you don't want to pay him.
Right.
And you bring in Julius Randle and Dante DiVincenzo and all the, you know, the pieces that they got in that move. And if you compare where the Knicks are at with Karl-Anthony Towns to where the Timberwolves currently are without him, it's kind of a questionable decision that they made.
We talking about Zion Williamson back in action. Head coach Willie Green spoke to the media just moments ago at the Smoothie King Center. Let's hear what the head coach of the Pels had to say about the matchup against the T-Wolves and also the return of Zion.
Hey, Coach. So, got the news that Zion is available today. Yeah. How does he change the dynamic of the team?
I mean, he's a force on the basketball court, and we all know that when he steps on the floor, he brings a certain energy to our team. His ability to get to the basket, create open shots, it brings a ton of energy, and we're excited to get him back.
DeJounte is listed as questionable. Mm-hmm. How is what's his status for today?
He's a game-time decision. He'll go out, warm up, and then we'll have more of an update after that.
Okay, if he does play tonight, it would be the first time that DeJounte and Zion would be on the court at the same time in the regular season. How much are you looking forward to seeing those two on the court at the same time?
We're definitely looking forward to it. You know, it's been a number of games we haven't had, you know, our guys on the floor at the same time. So the more that we can get, you know, some of our top guys on the floor, the better. And we can gain some momentum, gain some camaraderie and consistency on the floor. So I think more than anything, we're all excited about that.
Of course, we're going to talk about Zion, but how much do you think his presence is going to help everybody else with just the attention he brings whenever he has the ball?
Well, offensively, it makes the game easier for all of his teammates. You know, he is such a force, and so much gravity and attention is focused on him when he's on the floor that those shots are easier for Herb, those shots are easier for DeJounte, CJ, Jose, whomever he's playing with, Hawk. He makes the game simple and easy for everyone, and that's what great players do. They're able to step on the floor, and you can feel their presence right away.
Could you get a sense of how excited he is to be back out there? We didn't get a chance to talk to him.
For sure. He's excited. I mean, he's worked his tail off to get to this point. Him and Daniel Bove, our lead performance guy, they've been getting after it. day in and day out. And we're all excited to get Z healthy and get him on the floor.
Obviously, you don't want to put winning or losing on Zion's return and things like that, but just how does it lift the other guys in the locker room when they found out that he was available and that he'd be back? How do they respond to him? How does he respond to being just his overall response to being back on the team again like it is?
I think I speak for everyone that we're all excited to get him on the floor. No one wants to see our guys go down, any of our guys go down with injuries. They're part of the game, but for him to work the way he has to get himself ready, we're excited to get him to join his teammates, and it's going to help us, you know, ultimately be a better team. When he's playing at his best, we're a better team, and that's what we want to do.
The way he handled this rehab, certainly, there's just been a lot of positive response from you, from the team, about how he's attacked this. In the years that you've been around Zion now, how would you say his approach maybe has matured from where he was as a rookie in handling injury and dealing with things and where he is today?
For sure, he's taking steps in the right direction in his approach to, you know, making sure that he's attentive to all the things that it's going to take for him to be as healthy as he can to get to graduate to being on the floor. And it's a group effort. It's collective. It's him. It's the performance staff. It's the training staff. It's the coaches and PD. It's our front office continue to have communication about, you know, what that looks like for him moving forward. So collectively, you know, I'm extremely proud of all the work that went into, you know, helping him get to the floor. And then the credit goes to him. He, you know, he has to put the work in, and he did that.
And then just dealing with the Timberwolves, a team that you've had success against previously, but brings obviously a very talented perimeter scoring game with Anthony Edwards, and then dealing with Rudy up front for Eves. What do you think they present as far as challenges tonight?
Well, Anthony Edwards is on a tear right now. He is one of the elite, you know, young stars in the league. And, you know, when he touches the ball, you know, you have to, all five guys on the floor have to have an awareness of what we're trying to accomplish defensively against him. You can't allow him to get rhythm shots, rhythm layups. You have to make everything difficult for him. And even then, he still is capable of having big nights. And Gobert, you know, he's down there in the paint, manning their defense. And so when we do get to the rim, you have to be really, you know, keen on making good rim decisions when he's on the floor.
That was Pel's head coach Willie Green as the Birds get ready to take on the Minnesota Timberwolves. And what do you know? My cohort here decided to join early. Welcome in Jeff Nowak to the Radio Huddle.
Just sitting at home thinking about, man, the Pelicans, they're on a hot streak. They won two games in a row.
We could have our first three-game win streak of the season,
what
Jeff.
What are they, 7-29 now?
7-29.
Yeah, I was thinking about this morning. If they got, like, hotter than heck, they won, like, the next 20 games in a row. You know, when they'd be on a 22-game winning streak, they'd just be sniffing 500.
Right.
They wouldn't even be at 500 yet. They would have to win 22 more games in a row just to get to 500. Think about that. That's crazy.
But at least some of these pieces to this team are starting to come back. We just recently saw Jose Alvarado, now Zion Williamson tonight, although I digress, as Trey Murphy went out last night with an ankle issue and concerned, obviously, about him and when we'll see him back in action, because I know he wasn't at practice today.
Yeah, it feels unlikely that anything good's going to happen this season. And I don't even know. Like, you would have to go 34-12.
The rest of the way?
The rest of the season. To finish 500, you would have to go 34-12. You would have to be the best team in basketball.
Maybe have a chance at that number 10 seed.
Right, and you probably wouldn't make that. If you were the best team in basketball from this point forward, the rest of the season, you probably would still miss the playoffs. Like, that's how remarkably bad. Like, it's hard to even put in perspective how quickly this season went from hopeful optimism to just the worst. And I don't know, man. It's like I was excited to watch Pelicans games at the beginning of this season. I was. Now it's like, oh, the Pelicans are on? Is there anything else to do? Like,
you tune in and then there's something happens in the third or fourth quarter and they start losing momentum. But luckily, those back-to-back games they had against the Wizards, they got some mojo going.
They could just play the Wizards every game.
Bring on the Wiz!
You know, I was thinking after that first game, like, if I was writing a story off that first game, I would be like, you know, the what I know about this game is the worst team in the NBA and the second to worst team in the NBA are playing right now. One of those teams won, and I'm still not sure which is which. Like, but I am confident that this is the worst team in the NBA and the second to worst team in the NBA. At least the version of the Pelicans that we saw.
Well, with two wins, back-to-back wins over the Wizards, we're definitely not the lowest of the low.
No, they're not. Yeah, they won't have the best lottery odds. Let's put it that way.
We're taking a break here on Sports Talk. When we get back, we'll hear from DeJounte Murray, who spoke at Pel's shoot-around. Hear what he had to say as the Birds get ready to take on the Minnesota T-Wolves tonight in the Smoothie King Center. You can hear it on WWL 870 AM, a 7 o'clock tip-off, 6:30 pregame coverage. We'll be right back with more Sports Talk on 105.3 FM, though, right after this on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk here on 105.3 FM. Pelicans coverage of taking on the Timberwolves over on 870 AM. Me, Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long getting into it with now Pel's reporter Ali Cosell joining us. And man, Ali, I know the two-game win streak, obviously nice to see for the Birds, but even better news this evening, the return of Zion. Hallelujah. Hopefully he can stick around for a little bit. How are you doing, Ali? How is your new year and what is going on?
Yeah, the new year was good, and it's gotten even better, right? Pelicans finally stopped losing some games, won two in a row. Now you've got the big guy back, Zion. And I'll tell you what, I've been noticing something that's different, and it's the fact that his body, this is the best he's looked physically coming off an injury. Right? Usually players, and it's not just Zion, have to work themselves in a better shape, and it's kind of noticeable, right? You can see it on their body type. But with Zion, he looks like he's slim. He's just got done playing 30 games, so that's kind of exciting stuff. That's different. That's a good difference.
Ali, I know we're back when we're talking about Zion's looking in shape again. That's how I know we're back where we need to be. That's my favorite off-season conversation.
Unfortunately, it's king cake season, yeah, too.
He's getting it done. No, I was wondering, you know, anytime you have a guy, especially someone of Zion's build who misses extended time, it's always going to be that question.
Like coming back, right?
How do you come back? So, I mean, just to kind of get further, like, what should we expect for him in this game? I mean, minutes restriction. I shudder to think burst limit or whatever that was back in the bubble days with a burst limit. They still have nightmares about that conversation. But what should people expect from
Zion? Including
Zion.
Yeah, right. Bursts, we know that Zion absolutely hated them. So I don't think they're going to treat him much like they did, right, that first year under Alvin Gentry, where they limited him with a four-minute burst. No, what I'm expecting is he's going to be held, right? Willie Green said minutes restriction. So we're probably thinking he's going to top out about 25 or so. But I think what we'll see is he'll begin the game, probably get a quick breather, and probably get back out there to start the second quarter. Because otherwise you're resting, right, far too long, I feel like, for a guy coming off a couple hamstring injuries. So remains to be seen. I just don't expect for that to be like exactly to the T, 5-6 minute burst or whatever. Like I said, Zion's absolutely despised him, and the Pelicans have tried to kind of move away from him.
From the good news to the bad news, we saw Trey Murphy get injured recently. Any word on how that ankle is doing for him? I know he wasn't at practice today.
Yeah, he didn't practice yesterday. Didn't see him at he was actually at shoot around.
Okay.
But wasn't able, of course, to go with the team, missing tonight, obviously. I think what he's going to do, it seems like it's a mild case again. Maybe he's going to miss about a handful of games. We're thinking maybe about two or three. And we'll see him at some point during this upcoming three-game road trip. But again, it looks like he escaped anything major, right, where, like, for instance, Brandon Ingram. We see how long he's out. It looks like it's going to be measured in months. But with Trey, yeah, just a mild one. He sprained the same ankle as he did previously, which caused him to miss no games. And this time around, he's going to miss, like I said, just only a handful, though.
Ali, you and I were talking a little bit off air. You know, the next month, basically, effectively the next dozen games are incredibly important for this Pelicans team. And that all starts tonight with Minnesota. So I want to take it kind of a little bit game by game, talk about the Timberwolves first and foremost, because that's who the Pelicans are playing tonight. Minnesota, 18-17 overall, you know, Steve and I were talking in the first segment there that they were really on the doorstep of the NBA Finals last year. And then they make the kind of controversial decision to move on from Karl Anthony Towns. They bring on Julius Randle, Dante DiVincenzo, and it hasn't really worked out for them. I know Anthony Edwards has been very outward about kind of his dislike of how things have been going so far this year. And himself, I know you probably saw the game. He put up 53 points against the Pistons, and they lose by 14 points. So Minnesota's been kind of messy this year, despite their 18-17 record, which is a winning record. It's not the same Minnesota team that we saw at the doorstep of the NBA Finals last year.
No, Charlie, look, let's face it, that was a bad trade on Minnesota's part.
100%.
I know that financially they wanted to not pay Karl-Anthony Towns on his next contract, which would have sent them right up into the second apron territory, and their ownership has never really wanted to pay even the tax. And unfortunately, they made a deal, Julius Randle, DiVincenzo, as you said, and those guys, neither one is fit. Dante, it seemed like, and I read this, the first month and a half, he didn't even really want to be in Minnesota. And you could tell by his play, right? He didn't at all resemble the player we saw last year with the Knicks. Now with Randle, he just simply hasn't fit, period, by alongside Anthony Edwards. While he's still putting up the numbers, it's the fact that it almost feels like your turn, my turn, simply because he dominates the ball. You know that your superstar like Anthony Edwards is going to have the ball a lot, right? He's going to have a handful of dribbles whenever he has those touches. But for that, also have Randle doing the same thing when Karl-Anthony Towns obviously was a quick decision type of player, right? Either he shot the ball because he was open or he just put his shoulder down and make a drive to the rim. Randle doesn't play that style. And in fact, he plays one of those rare traditional where I think even Brandon Ingram, you can't even compare him to Brandon. But Brandon's now much quicker decision type of maker out there. Julius isn't. And so their offense, Minnesota's, has died. And now their defense is also suffering. Right, so this team has really, I think, taken a step backwards. So much so that Chris Finch tonight, he's removed Mike Conley from the starting lineup. He did that in the last game and inserted Dante DiVincenzo, just trying to shake things up. Because that team, like I said, can be had. And if the Pelicans just really do their job on Anthony Edwards, which you know Herb Jones is going to give it his all, and probably do at least a decent job, that I think the Pelicans can win this one. Let's face it, guys. When you get Zion back, that's got to be a jolt of energy, not just to him, but to everybody on that team.
And I think if you're looking at the schedule again, Ali, if they can pick up this win and make it three straight against Minnesota, they have the back-to-back, and back-to-backs are never fun, but it's against Portland. Mm-hmm. I mean, you saw how they handled one of the worst teams in the league when they went back-to-back against Washington. Against Portland, you know, they've picked up losses to Portland earlier in the year, but who was on the floor? You know, we'll see what kind of happens there with that matchup. But your thoughts on the Trailblazers as well with that matchup tomorrow?
Yeah, the Pelicans faced them in that first week and a half. And at that time, there are no bad teams yet, right? So even the teams that are supposed to be bad still don't really know it, so they play harder. And I think the Pelicans got a really good shot from Portland in both of those early games where they dominated New Orleans on the glass. I don't think that's going to happen this time around. One, they're missing a couple of key players. But also, two, I've watched a recent game of theirs, and they just don't play with kind of that same energy. So if the Pelicans do play as well as they have been, and I know it doesn't reflect in the record, right? They've just won two games after losing 20 out of 21. So I feel like their play, their competitiveness has really ticked up over the last maybe three or so weeks. So if the Pelicans honestly show up, this could honestly be a four-game winning streak. I can't even believe we're saying this, right? Because 3 weeks ago, we were wondering if they could ever win another game. But no, this team is trending upwards. You can see with their shooting, more three-point shots are going down, and the defense is slowly beginning to actually show some kind of semblance from previous years to where they're stopping opponents from getting too many points in transition, fast break points, and basically the keys to what Willie Green was doing last couple of seasons, where that was a six-rated defense overall.
I think another big thing, Ali, and I know it was the Washington Wizards, but the Pelicans were really able to limit their turnovers in those games, and that is just so huge because there's just been so much sloppy play, errant passes, just things that make you bang your head against the wall. But at least those things seem to be cleaned up a bit in that this two-game win streak. And no surprise, when you're not turning the ball over, you got a better chance to win games. So overall, just, I mean, what have they done to improve that? Is it just guys getting more chemistry together?
That honestly is all it is, because we asked when DeJounte had back-to-back turnover games of eight apiece,
yeah,
right? It's something he's never done previously in his career. In talking to him, CJ, they said it's a lack of chemistry, right? These guys haven't really even played together on the court since Nashville, right? Training camp. So that's an issue when all of a sudden you got to jump into NBA speed where, you know, every team's getting about 100 possessions. So everything's going at warp speed. And then, of course, DeJounte, on top of that, right? His mom had a stroke. Probably that's still an ongoing thing for him, along with returning from a fractured wrist, right? So all his timing, basketball timing, is off. And that, I think, is what honestly led to all that disjointedness. But now that he's had a handful of games, alongside several teammates that he recognized, right? They had a little bit of a run there with Trey Herb, CJ all together in the starting lineup alongside Eden Missy. And I think all that helps, right? Continuity honestly helps. So they flipped that script to where now I think last 5 or 10 games, the offense is actually about 15th or so in the league. And that's huge because I don't have to tell you guys, but the first was a month and a half or maybe 2 months. The offense and the defense were both towards the bottom of the league. Now, like I said, we're seeing signs of coming down. You're right, Steve. Less turnovers. That's been a big key.
Yeah, I mean, here's my thing. You know, it's been a rough year, right? Yeah, you just suffer through a 5-12 Saints season, and a lot of times for me, it's like, okay, the Saints season is going on. I pay attention to the Pelicans as much as I can, but it's like, oh, the Saints season is over. I can finally turn and really sink my teeth into the Pelicans, and I look 7-29. Like they could win 22 consecutive games and get back to 500, but I just don't see that happening. But where do you land on this roster, on this coaching staff? The trade deadline's coming up. They're going to have to obviously make some decisions there. Is there saving this roster? Is it all about the injuries? Because I feel like obviously the injuries were incredible and they're hard to overcome. But you know, teams do that. Teams that deal with injuries, they don't lose 20 out of 21 games. This It feels like that type of drop-off is indicative of something's not necessarily clicking. And I know the roster they rolled out there was hardly an NBA roster for a while, but where do you land on all that, and where do you see things going regardless of what happens the rest of the way?
Yeah, it makes no sense to rehash the past, right? I mean, the Pelicans, their top 7 players, I looked today even, missed 132 games out of possible 252, right? So more than half the game. So obviously you're not going to have a winning roster by NBA standards out there most nights. And then the second thing is I felt like that haymaker early in the season where you lost all of your guys. Then Zion went down, which was going to be a long-term injury. Then beyond, I feel like that honestly does take some bite out of a team, right? That competitive spirit. So that's what you're rebounding from. And that's why, like you mentioned, postseason thoughts are pretty much gone, right? Pelicans trailed the Spurs by 11 games just to get into that 10th spot, right? That final play-in spot. So that's rarely ever been done. Any team making up that kind of ground in the past. So what you're hoping to see, though, is that these guys do stay healthy so you can learn which guys work together and which ones you want to keep. Because by re-entered the season, they're going to have to make some change, right? Likely Brandon Ingram was going to have to go, but maybe it was going to be CJ McCall. Well, now it's basically if everybody can get on the court, now you're looking at just what works together because that's what you should bring back, you know, over the summer into next season. Brandon Ingram's likely going to go, but still, you want to reevaluate Jordan Hawkins. CJ's now caught fire for 5 games, but can he keep it going? Right? And then, of course, you're watching this Dejounte Murray. You brought him in to be that clutch-time performer, the guy that's going to lead this team with a real point guard. So far, he hasn't resembled anything of the sort. So, like I said, this is a perfect time to evaluate where, honestly, there's no pressure. There's no pressure to win games, but you want to still see the guys excel on the court because you got to make decisions on the future. And as you guys know, NBA, there's a lot of volatility in the off seasons nowadays. It's no longer where most players stay with 1 or 2 teams for their careers.
Ollie, always appreciate the time. Hope you enjoy the game tonight. Let's get another win. Make it 3 in a row.
I hear you. Winning is fun. It's different.
It is. Yes, sir.
Hey, get yourself one of those heart shirts.
I was going to say that too. Exactly. I want to go to a game just to get one of those for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome stuff as always, Ollie. Thank you so much for joining us. Ollie Kozel, credentialed NBA writer who covers the Pels. And like Jeff mentioned, you can get one of those Nola Hart t-shirts at the gift shop or souvenir store, whatever you want to say.
Toward the families.
So, all the proceeds.
Yes.
That's very nice of the organization to do. Right. And I'm wondering if you're going to see those Nola Saint shirts around as well. I know they have the Pelicans logo under it.
Well, they have the same shirts with the Saints logo, and then Rizzy was wearing a Nola Strong shirt yesterday, so okay. They'll have those out there too. I don't know. We'll find out.
Taking a break. We'll be back with more of Sports Talk here on 105.3 FM. Any kind of Pelicans coverage you want, they're in their pregame coverage going on 870 AM, a 7 o'clock tip-off against those T-Wolves. Coming back right at you after this on WWL. We've been talking about them Pelicans getting ready to take on the Minnesota T-Wolves tonight, a 7 o'clock tip-off over on 870 AM. Dejounte Murray in action for the first time with Zion Williamson this evening. What shall it bring? Well, we heard from Dejounte at practice today, and here's what he had to say getting ready for those T-Wolves.
We, you know, get close to Z's return. How excited is just to see him back out there and think about what he can do to add to the team?
I mean, I'm just happy for the individual, you know. I know it's tough being out, you know, having to rehab, do the same things over and over. We get paid to play basketball. We don't get paid to be hurt, you know, but that also come in to, you know, taking care of your business. So, you know, my main thing for him was just handle your business. You know, I just got here. I don't care about anything that's in the media or what anybody got to say. Handle your business. Earn your paycheck, go home, be with your family, you know. So, you know, I think he's excited to play. We're excited to, you know, just add him to our back to the team.
Are you looking forward to seeing what you, the two of you all can do together?
I mean, man, I'm just trying to win basketball games, man, you know. So, of course, I'm excited to play with all my teammates. You know, the way I play the game of trying to make dudes better and hopefully making sure that it rubs off on other guys, you know, knowing if we play for each other, we could be a special group. So, I'm excited to play with Z, but, you know, also everybody else.
Defensively, you guys held Washington to 98 on Sunday. You're going to need another defensive performance tonight. What's the key, especially against Anthony Edwards?
I mean, it's the Timberwolves. I don't never just single out one person. Obviously, that's a talented, you know, player over there. You know, but they got a lot of other guys that are talented. And basketball is a team sport. So, you know, we're not just game planning for Anthony Edwards. Obviously, he's the head honcho. But, you know, we're going to do our best. Those type of guys, you just make it hard on them, you know. And, you know, just compete at a high level and, you know, try to get another win.
DeJounte, what's it been like playing next to CJ? He's been kind of hot the last five games, including that 50 ball.
Oh, man, always been a fan of CJ. He's the ultimate pro. He handles his business, take care of his body, and he's just a great guy to be around all around. So, you know, I've been had love and respect for CJ back when he was in Portland. You know, obviously, it made the transition easier when I got here in New Orleans. So, it's great, you know, and my job is to continue to get them guys the ball, make their life easier, and, you know, he got a lot left.
Z is not always about his production, but also the gravity that he commands when he's out there. How much do you think his presence can help everybody else on the team?
I mean, it'll help a lot. You know, that's a guy that teams are going to load up on, you know, so he's going to be able to get guys shots and then allow that to open it up for himself. So, you know, we don't want him to feel like he got to come save the world, you know, get in the rhythm and flow of things and, you know, try to, you know, play your first game, have fun, compete, and, you know, hopefully get a win and move on.
You got your first triple-double as a Pelican the other night. What was that just like for you to kind of put all your everything together like that?
No feelings. You know, I'm glad on the team win. You know, that's the way I play the game. I feel like I play the game the right way. You know, obviously I'm not scoring the ball where I want to. You know, but I will be better at that. But it's not about just scoring. And one thing, you know, the fans, players, coaches around this league would know about DeJounte. You know, shots are not going in. I'm making other guys' jobs easier. I'm playing defense. I'm rebounding. I'm being vocal. You know, you don't want to be that player that, you know, offense determine how you're going to play. You know, so I'm going to continue to get better work and, you know, continue to just go up.
And usually not much attention's given to just winning two games, regular season games. But considering where you guys were, right, losing 20 of 21, how important was it to get those two wins? And have you noticed maybe that's changed, lifted some spirits or anything like that?
I mean, it's hard to win a basketball game in the NBA. Anybody tell you it's easy, you know, they're lying to you. It doesn't matter what a team's record is. Any team's, you know, able to get beat any given night. So, you know, we just got to go out and continue to get better, you know, starting here, understanding the detail, the game plan, and execute on the defensive end. And like I'm going to continue to say, offense, you know, any team that plays a team game, when you play for each other, it's contagious and it rubs off on guys. So we got to continue to play for each other and not for individuals. And then obviously on the defensive end, be there for each other and take it one game at a time.
Do you feel like winning a couple of those games helps validate, right? Because of all the effort, we've seen the effort and the work you guys have been putting in, but it hasn't translated until now.
One game at a time, man. I'm not looking behind. I'm not looking ahead. You know, we play Minnesota today. We won those two games. They're great, you know, but those games is over. We got Minnesota tonight, and I think that's the main focus.
DeJounte Murray there talking about they got the Minnesota T-Wolves tonight, and after speaking with Ollie Cosell, kind of hopeful this team could get on a little bit of a roll. Four-game win streak when you got T-Wolves tonight and then Portland tomorrow.
Well, I think that's what makes this whole situation so frustrating is, like, you look at the roster. It's like, I don't think it's that bad of a roster.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, the roster you were looking at for a while there was not an NBA roster. But when you even put, like, a good number of these players, not all of them, you're not going to have Brandon Ingram, you're not going to have Trey Murphy, but I feel like the guys you're going to roll out there tonight is a competitive group, a group capable of winning basketball games. And it's just frustrating to know that it was so bad over the first 36 games that you just don't have a shot.
It was like the Saints season. We got a glimpse the first two games.
Right. Right, and it's like you're so far out of it now that even if you had a strong finish to the season, all you're doing is ruining your draft pick.
Right.
But you're still – this team is – I don't think that they're in a position where they can afford to go into the tank.
No, it's going to be interesting to see, obviously, with the trade deadline coming up pretty soon, what's going to happen, what pieces will be on the move, because I definitely don't expect this team to stand pat right now. You've heard too many, you know, rumors buzzing around. Will Brandon Ingram be around? Maybe even like a C.J. McCollum. I don't think a guy like Zion Williamson gets moved, though.
No, I don't think you do. And here's the thing. Stars are hard to come by in the NBA. They're not going to want to tear it down, right? Everyone's going to be like, fire Willie Green, fire these people. When in the NBA, you know, it's like you can talk about the NFL, right? You have 22 starters. You have 11 starters on offense. You have 11 starters on defense. In the NBA, you got five. You got like nine rotation players, right? So if you're down four or five of those guys, that'd be like an NFL team losing 11 players.
Although, shoot, we see winning NBA coaches get canned.
Oh, sure, sure. It's tough to look at it and say,
it's Willie's fault.
They're bad because they're hurt, so we're just going to reset everything. Like, I don't know. It's tough.
We hear the music playing us out. We'll take a break. Be right back. Closing out Sports Talk. Getting ready for the Saints Hour starting at 7 o'clock. Me and Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak here with you. Coming right back after this, though, on WWL. Folks, do you listen to WWL on the Odyssey app? If not, you got to join the club. We've got big growth in listeners in our area who stream their favorite shows on their phones and download our podcast. Now you can get whatever you want when you stay connected to WWL for breaking news, sports, and opinions. You just can't get anywhere else. Just download the Odyssey app today and make sure to go My Audio and then go into the settings and turn on notifications. That way you'll never miss a big story or some red-hot interviews. WWL is always live and free on the Odyssey app.
It really is a good app. I don't know. Like, we read that little reader, and it's like I genuinely use the app all the time. Like, this is not me promoting our own app. Like, it's a great app if you have not downloaded it.
You can listen to Sports Talk, the Inside Black and Gold podcast.
Everything's on there. Whatever your podcast you're looking for.
Your articles on WWL.com.
Yeah, I don't know if you can find those on there. Don't worry. You don't have to read those on there.
Well, there's a lot of key stuff that covering the Saints stuff. You know, people are way interested right now in what is going on with this black and gold bunch, and we'll be getting into it more in the Saints Hour coming up soon. But I guess your opinion, the mood of the locker room yesterday when it was I know it kind of said to you a somber day where, you know, it's everyone cleaning out their lockers, but it really – you didn't really have that kind of a feel to it, you said.
Yeah, no, the somberness, and Rizzi kind of talked about this, like the emotion is in that last game. It's that final locker room after the game. Now, if you're at home, it's a little different than you're on the road. You got to get on the plane. By the time you get back to the next day or whatever, I guess it was the next day.
Kind of decompressed on the plane.
It's business. Everyone's, you know, it's like, okay, what do I got to do? I got to clean out my locker. I got to do this, got to do this, got to have meetings. You know, it's very business-like. Like, the emotion is passed. But it is kind of like, you know, it's more of like a graduation, like the last day of summer camp than anything. I was like, oh, I'll see you guys next year, maybe.
Maybe, right.
Right? Like, you don't know. And that's where the emotion is, because whatever the team is next year, it's not going to be the same team. Like, there's going to be some players back, but who knows who that's going to be. So, you know, you kind of have to figure it out that way.
When we were getting ready for the Saints Hour, I was going to joke with you and send you a text. Oh, we got Cam Jordan booked for the show since he's been speaking so much.
I mean, yeah, I've basically talked every day the last 2 weeks.
Thanks for joining us here on Sports Talk. Next up on 105.3 FM, stay tuned for the Saints Hour. We're going to hear from Bobby Hebert, also Matthew Paris, Saints beat reporter, the Times-Picayune, about this head coaching search. Join us next, right next on the Saints Hour, coming up on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Who dat?